Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the latest edition of Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast. I am Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of Fran Coach, and your Franchising 101 host. Today, we are excited to have one of our franchise partners joining us to talk about their exploding and emerging brands. We're really excited to bring them on. Hope says it's an old friend, one of our folks that we've had on a few different times to talk about all things franchising. Today, we have to focus on one of their franchises. But before we tell you that story, we have to, of course, tell you ours. Who is Fran Coach? Well, we are a national search firm dedicated to working with individuals interested in owning a franchise. We are partnered with well over 500 of the top franchisors in the country, spanning nearly 60 industries. Our goal is to help clients find the absolute best franchise for them to own. And the goal of the Franchising 101 series is to help educate people on all aspects of franchise ownership. Joining us today is the Director of Franchise Development for the Moran Family of Brands, Mr. Ben Rice. Ben, how are you, sir?
Doing very well. Thank you, Tim.
Good. Always good to talk to you, my friend. How's life in lovely and I'm sure warm Chicago today?
Yeah, life is great in Northern Illinois. We haven't hit a lot of snow yet, but we all know it's coming. But it's plenty cold. Getting prepped for the long winter.
The snows, that's that white stuff that falls from the sky, correct?
Yeah. Have you seen that recently?
No, there's a giant mountain out the window. If I could kind of boot, there's a little snow up there, but it's what I call here in Arizona. It's fake winter. So I needed the hoodie on this morning and going to be, I think, 75 today. So we are happy to have you on. And we've got one of the Moran family of brands we want to talk about specifically today, which is our new one, right? So we've got TurboTint. We want to talk about that. But give us a scoop maybe just to start with on brand family of brands that kind of indicates we've got more than one of these suckers. So tell us what the different franchises are within the family.
Yeah, so we're a 30-year-old franchisor. We're second generation. We're family-owned. We've been in the automotive aftermarket for a majority of that time. We started out in the transmission space with Mr. Transmission. And our growth strategy during the 90s was really one of acquisition. So we acquired a regional general repair brand called Milex. And then we acquired a automotive accessories brand called Altamir. And these three brands operated really as silo brands independently for a number of years. They each had their own customer base and service providers. They're great brands. But about 15 years ago, we recognized on the automotive repair side of our business, we could bring Mr. Transmission and Milex together and make it a co-branded location as one franchise. So what that delivered for franchisees was a one-stop automotive repair shop. And that left Altamir on the other side of our house, which is automotive accessories. And so we had now two sides of our house, one being repair and the other being accessories. Well, Altamir, it was really the short version is it's a broken model. And if you'll allow me, Tim, I don't know how long you want me to get into this history, but it's helpful to understand where we came from to see the value in TurboTint. So Altamir was automotive window film. It was also in a lot of different spaces. Electronics, so if you think about audio and remote starts and backup cameras, alarms, that was a big part of that model. And then we also did bolt-on accessories. So if you think about running boards, tonneau covers, fender flares, we just had a huge catalog of products that we were selling and installing. But what happened in the automotive accessories space was that the demand increased in the film space, if you think about automotive window tint. But then what also came online was paint protection film. So if you recall, years ago, we used to have those black car bras that protected against the bugs and the,
right.
the rocks. Now we have a product that it's clear. It doesn't impact the clear coat, doesn't impact the paint job, but it services basically the same need where it protects against rock chips and scratches. So we had this growth with film, so window tint and the clear coat paint protection. But unfortunately, there was a pretty significant decline in the other product lines, namely the electronics. So if you think about your modern vehicle, most of us have a backup camera. We have Bluetooth. We have blind spot detectors. We have remote starts. And so all those products that we were selling into the aftermarket was really going away. It was going away because manufacturers were adding those onto these modern cars. So we got to a point internally, we said, look, what are we going to do without Tamir? This is broken, and we do not want to go the way of Radio Shack. Our repair side of the business is great, recession resistant, but Altamir is broken. So what do we do? And out of that came a focus on the film. Film is a very high margin product. And as I mentioned, that's where the demand is. And so he said, we can actually improve profitability by eliminating these declining product sectors and focus entirely on film. And then we added in architectural film, and I'll touch on that in a moment. But that's the residential and the commercial side of our business. And we get a lot of the same benefits that we do in the automotive space. But it allowed us to focus on the high growth, high margin products, eliminate all the declining products. And out of that came TurboTint. So that's a little bit of a background for you.
Crazy, right? So which is great for businesses and even people to have a little self-reflection. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Okay, great. If it's broke, have the sense to realize it is broke and then figure out how to fix that. Not everybody, whether it's individuals or businesses, have that level of self-reflection, which is awesome.
I think that's a good reflection of our culture as a company, as a franchisor. And I'll tell you why, being family owned, that proximity to franchisees in terms of support is really crucial to us. It was actually our franchisee in Oklahoma City that had this idea for TurboTint and called our president. And our president went down and spent a few days with him. And we just fell in love with it. We loved the idea. We loved the technology component. And I'll touch on that as well. But it really sets us apart from competitors. It fixed the issue internally that we saw as well, to your point. It was a partnership. It was something that we listened and took it and didn't dismiss it and say, no, get back to your market and
right.
do what you're doing.
Franchising in general, right? So that's the name of the podcast, Franchising 101. How many of the folks that you have as franchise owners or we work with that are coming out of the corporate world that are tired of the top down, this is how we've always done it, this is how we're always going to do it? Maybe the dumbest reason to ever tell somebody to do something. Even my 8-year-old's smart enough to know, Dad, that's ridiculous. Stop it. That doesn't work, right? And so then to come into a franchise where it is supposed to be a partnership, and that we're talking about, and not just TurboTint, but the culture within all of Moran, that this isn't something you're going to want to say, but I'll say it from our experience working with you guys live it and breathe it, right? It is a partnership, and the amount of within Milex and Mr. Transmission, maybe the older brands, how many multi-generational owners you have, where it's gotten passed down and passed down, that doesn't happen if it's not working really well and there's not that great family culture. Kudos to you guys for being open to do that. That's really, really cool and not super common. I'm a customer. I got a car. Yeah, it's already got like the windows a little darker. It's fine, but it's really not. You're going to tell me it's not. I already know that, right? But what does TurboTint do? Talk about some of those services and products for the consumer.
It's a focused brand, as I mentioned, on film. There are three product categories in turbo tint. The first is automotive window tint. We see three benefits that customers are seeking with that product. First is the aesthetic. Some customers just like to change the look of that vehicle. They want to go to a darker film. So that used to be the primary driver of customers in the tint space. They just like the look. They want it dark and it looks sexy. But what happened is the quality of the film improved and opened us up to solving two other issues. One is heat rejection, and the other is UV protection. So it actually blocks out 99% of UV rays coming into that car. So if you're out driving around, you're blocking the UV and you're rejecting heat. So the further south that you go in our country and the hotter the climate is, the more of a need this tint becomes. So that's automotive window tint. Then clear coat paint protection. I mentioned this earlier. That's going to protect against rock chips and scratches. And so we see more new vehicles or high-end vehicles will apply this. You typically see it applied to the front hood, front of the hood, and the front bumper. So we sell this in packages, but we do have a package where we'll have customers wrap their entire vehicle. We've done high-end Mercedes and Ferraris, so have gotten in some exotic vehicles. Again, it doesn't change the clear coat, doesn't impact the paint job, but it protects the whole
vehicle. It's stopping any sort of chip from a bug or a rock or whatever as you're cruising down the highway, basically.
Yes, and correct? It's self-healing. It's a really neat product. We have a demo in our stores which has a wire brush over this product. And so, you know, you can come up there and brush it on and see the scratch and then a hairdryer. So when they're out in the sun and the heat, we'll mimic this little tutorial that we do, but it'll actually heal this film and it goes back to entirely clear.
Do we have a turbo tint in Arizona somewhere? Like I might know somebody on this podcast who would love this as... Because my house here in Arizona is in the middle of flipping nowhere. So every time I drive into Phoenix or Tucson, it's like, how many bugs can I kill on the front? The rocks, I got a big old, like in my windshield, which is separate, but just the front of my car gets destroyed, especially and more so in the summertime than in the winter. The heck with everybody else learning about turbo tint. Do we have one of these in Arizona yet?
Not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
We need one. Yeah.
Yes, we do. So anybody listening in Arizona, you have a built-in customer if you also want to start a turbo tint here. So, okay. So we need one of those. We need one of those soon. That's the automotive. You kind of hinted at a residential and commercial component of this as well.
Yes. And this is relatively new to the whole market. So it used to be you could apply film to your home and get some of the same benefits like heat rejection. So if you have bad glare or one room just gets really, really hot at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But you had to go so dark with that film that it threw off the curb appeal. It just did not look right applying it to home. So no one really applied it. Nobody picked up on it. Well, they changed how they made the film, and not to get too deep into the weeds because it's kind of boring. But the bottom line is now we're able to apply a film to homes and businesses where it doesn't impact or change the look from the outside. So you get the same heat rejection, you get the same UV protection, and there's a lot of those energy benefits. There's a lot of just comfort solutions that come with this architectural film. And that is growing in consumer awareness. People may think, hey, I've got to put up window treatments. Or I've got to do something here. And so we do a lot of education in our marketing strategies to share the value and features and benefits of what we call architectural film.
My office here in my house in Arizona faces south, which in Arizona isn't always the best direction, right? But there's a really big mountain there, so it's kind of a pretty view. But in the summertime, it gets a little hotter in my office and maybe other sides of the house. I can have this. It's going to reduce the heat that I'm going to feel coming in the summertime, but not really change the look going in and out.
Yep. There's different types of films. You can go darker, you can go lighter. You can have more of a mirrored finish. There's security film, there's protective film. There's all kinds of different applications for this product. But yes, I would highly recommend a film to be applied for that south-facing home.
So one more potential revenue stream for any new TurboTint Arizona owner that we have. So we've got my car, now we got my house. Perfect. Okay, so, and then obviously that's residential, but now you're doing the same thing from a commercial perspective as well.
Yeah, same applications. So we're working with landlords, we're working with building owners, we're looking, working with schools. I hate this example because it's a sad example, but we did an elementary school where we went in and put film on all the classroom doors so that if there's ever an intruder, you can see out, but they cannot see in to the classroom. And again, I know it's a terrible example. The other one is security film. So retail stores, jewelry shops, any business with a lot of glass, you could put a film over that glass and it slows down a smash and grab. With enough force, with enough time, you will get through the film, but there's actually some pretty neat videos that are out there from our manufacturer that have shown how much it slows down this smash and grab effort. So there's security film to that. So there's a lot of different applications on the commercial side of this architectural film.
So if I see like a little anything that says turbo tint, I should probably resist the urge to do a smash and grab. So good tips of our petty thieves out there as well. So move to the next location. Again, from a technology perspective, and yeah, like it's one of those like, sure, we get into that as we start vetting out the franchise, but you've got huge differentiators from anybody else out there that's going to say, we'll tint your windows. This is way more than that.
Yeah, that's what gets me most excited about this. If you look at the market, the demand is there, but it's an extremely fragmented market in terms of the players. There's very limited broad brand awareness. It's dominated by mom and pop shops. And they really run the gamut of sophistication. So you have everything from just an owner operator taking one bay back in an industrial park up to some stronger players in the market and everything in between. But the way those work in the automotive side is typically customers are forced into making three visits to get their tint applied. You show up, you have to talk to somebody, they try to upsell you. It's a very old school sales model. And their goal is really to get you physically into that store. Because if they get you in, they've got a very high closing ratio. So it's all about getting the customer into the store. Well, who has time for that now, just to shop for something like window tint? But you're in there and you make your decision. Well, probably can't get you in right away. So they schedule your installation for another day. And typically it's a block of time. So it's either morning, afternoon, or sometimes they ask for that car all day. Well, nobody's going to wait for that long. So you have to drop the vehicle, you've got to arrange a ride or take an Uber. Well, then you have to go back and pick it up. So that's your third visit. When we looked at and making these changes internally, we wanted to have a better customer experience, something that we would expect ourselves as consumers in the market that's driven by technology and apps and convenience. And so we looked at Carvana, of all things, and we said, hey, if you could buy a car online, surely you could buy a tint package online. So we went about putting this concept together where a customer goes to the website, they learn about the products. We're very upfront with our pricing. There's no secrets. There's no call for price. There's no put your email in and we'll give you your quote. It's all on the website. Customer can buy online and then they open up a schedule where they actually schedule their installation at their convenience. So all through that process, we're telling them about a 1 hour installation where a customer can now treat this like an appointment, hair appointment, nail appointment. Instead of this multi-trip inconvenient purchase, now you show up to your store. Instead of it being an old school retail accessory shop where you're tripping over old wheels and you're looking at fender flares on the wall, it's a mile in a high-end coffee shop. So the whole customer experience is about complimentary beverages, of course, free Wi-Fi, but sitting in comfort for an hour. You're in and out in an hour to get your window tinted. It's unlike anything else in the market. And we know that because...
No broken plastic chair that I'm sitting in the greasy right. waiting room, right?
Right, right. Or somebody saying, yeah, it's going to be 3 hours. Right. So sit tight. No, we got to schedule our day. We got a lot of things to do.
Right.
So we need to know that we can get them in and out in an hour. But we thought we were onto something. We thought we had a good idea, but we thought we could either buy the technology or borrow it from a provider in the automotive aftermarket, the tint space. And Tim, it didn't exist. No one was selling and installing tint the way that we had it conceptually. So we built the technology from the ground up. We poured a lot of money into this. And that, again, is not just what separates us from the local competitors, but it takes a lot of resources to put this together. So even if one of those mom and pop shops wanted to do some kind of online scheduling to mimic this, they're really up against a heavy lift.
It's the buyer mindset now, right? I want what I want, when I want it, how I want it, right? It's you pesky millennials that have created this, right? And so it's across the board. And businesses, you either have to adapt to that or you're going to die. And so again, from a franchisor perspective, the culture and the infrastructure of Moran Family Brands to go, we have something that's broken. Let's figure out how to fix it. Let's communicate with our franchise partners to find a way and then to make it better than everything else out there, even if that means we have to create from scratch an entire technology platform to provide this amazing customer service experience. Is pretty remarkable. And let's also be clear, you had nothing to do with the creation of the technology, correct? You personally, nothing. Okay. So we know it's top flight and it's working really, really well. So again, all of those things that are, when you think of what's the differentiator, right? We got a whole bunch of boxes to check for Turbo Tint based on this. And then again, I make one trip, I'm in and out in an hour. You're giving me free Wi-Fi. You're giving me a free Diet Coke. I sit there and knock out some stuff on my laptop and poof, I'm off in my car.
And that's from the consumer experience. What that did for our owners compared to the old Altamir brand was just night and day, because Altamir was so product heavy that we had to have franchisees hire really good salespeople. And they had to know a lot. It was very similar to consumer electronics, where that salesperson had to know a lot about the products, had to know all about Viper alarms, communicate that effectively, sell it. It was a barrier to growth. Well, now, because we simplified it, we focused it, and so much happens online, we're booking revenue at 11:30 at night. People are on the website, they're buying. It's removed a lot of that salesy element from our old Altamir to TurboTint.
Right. Which is also, I think, a lot of in the automotive and other industries too, but a lot of in the automotive space, it's the slimy, greasy salesperson, right? Trying to upsell you on something. And as consumers, we don't know, like tint, UV, right? Okay, I want it darker. I don't want it as hot, right? Don't slime me to death on it. And again, taking all that off of there. And if I can sit and do online, like you mentioned, 11:30 at night, I can do the research. Like, oh, this sounds good. Oh, look, there's a spot tomorrow at 11 o'clock. I can be in and out in an hour. As a franchise owner, you go to bed with nobody at 11 o'clock and you wake up and like, oh, look, somebody booked and we've got another revenue that's coming in and we didn't have to do anything. We didn't have to do anything basically because the franchise has those things in place. It's fantastic.
Favorite is because the point of sale is all on our phones now.
Right.
When you get a ding in the middle of the night and you turn on your notification, I mean, you turn it off.
Right.
But you know, you're sleeping and you get that sales cash drawer ding and you wake up and you've already collected revenue for the day before you've even opened the store.
Yeah. So what the heck does the owner do? It's not super salesy, right? It's, and they're not, I'm guessing in there, however you apply this stuff, they're not the doer either, right? So what are you guys really looking for in an owner for this?
Two types of models, two types of franchisees. One is a single unit owner operator. The other, this is a great opportunity for a multi-unit owner because of the simplicity, because of the technology, because of the ease of ownership, the reduced number of SKUs and product. It really fits well for somebody that wants to buy and build out a territory. So the roles when those two scenarios are very different. If it's a single unit owner operator, they're going to be involved daily. They're going to oversee the center manager. You're correct. They're not in the installation area applying the film, but they're going to be primarily focused on community networking and managing the KPIs, making sure the margins are hit. One thing that's nice about TurboTint is we do have some new franchisees coming on board that will be keeping their jobs and starting semi-absentee. Part of that is the simplicity in the model. So they'll hire a manager and allow the manager to run the door key to key and oversee the staff. So there's a couple of different ways that you could approach it. Some of our franchisees will function as that center manager and oversee the whole business. So again, there's a couple of different ways on the multi-unit approach. You know, it's kind of repeat where you take that single store model, get a good center manager in there, get it moving to profitability, and then go out and start the next one.
Yeah. And then again, with anything with that multi-unit, the economies of scale, maybe it's we've got somebody from store number one that can fill it in store number two, right? All the advantages with that for sure, right? And a little bit newer, you've got tons of blank space. Like as we mentioned a couple of times, Arizona, where are we people? Let's go, let's get one out here because it gets a little warm, I don't know, 9 months out of the year. All this blank space for that. So you've got multiple options and you've got great growth potential for owners.
Absolutely. And I'll just give a little insight because territories are moving very quickly. We anticipated Phoenix, Greater Phoenix, Texas, so DFW, Houston, Austin, San Antonio, and then Florida would be some prime markets for us. Again, we're focused on the southern U.S. states. We're not limited to those areas, but we started franchise development at the end of 2020. So proof of concept happened at our Altamir that we converted to TurboTint. At the end of 2020, we formally launched new development with new franchisees. To this day, we have 31 territories sold for TurboTint. We, of course, had Oklahoma City open, but we've opened two new stores. Those both happen to be in Florida, but we've got locations going in Dallas, Orlando, all of Southeast Florida, Sarasota, Florida. And so, yes, to your point, there is a lot of territory open, but it is moving very quickly. People are responding to the simplicity and the margins, really.
And clearly, it's something that's going to grow quickly. And for an essentially an emerging brand, you're not really an emerging brand because you've got 30 plus years of the Moran family and Milexes and Mr. Transmissions all over the place. So it's not just sometimes in the world of franchising, the emerging brand is, here's our one corporate location and you got one person that's in charge of everything for franchising. That's not, you guys already have this infrastructure built out with this. So again, helps site selection, right? All those different things that go with this, which do touch on that a little bit. This is a physical brick and mortar space. What does somebody need for this?
Yeah, so I mentioned that we're in the repair space as well. And what's really neat about TurboTint is it doesn't require the same zoning that we need for automotive repair, which makes site selection so much easier relative to Mr. Transmission and Milex. So we look for mixed use retail. If we're going to grade it, it's B to B plus. So if you think of retail by grade, you're looking at a Whole Foods and there's an outlot parcel, that's going to be A to A plus, and you're going to pay a premium for that. So yes, Tim, to your point, TurboTint is brick and mortar. We do require physical space. We do want to have road frontage. We do want to have some visibility, but it's still a destination service. People are tracking, finding, purchasing online, and then they show up. But you don't want to be tucked away in an industrial park and make that hard. So the visibility is important, but it's not everything. So again, B to B plus, about 3,500 square feet. For the installation space, we want to have room to move around three cars comfortably. So it doesn't mean that we need to have three bays. Like if you think of an automotive repair shop, it's typically retrofitting a strip mall or a standalone parcel, and we'll put in a roll-up door, and then you can move cars in and open up the doors on those three cars and move around them. So again, 3,500 square feet, mixed use, retail, good visibility. We have a whole site selection program with a national tenant rep, so that'll help with market analysis, demographics, lease negotiation. That's all included in our franchise support.
Gotcha. And again, stuff you've been doing forever with the other two brands, and this one is just easier to find that, right?
So, yeah.
Well, cool. So we've clearly identified the fact that you guys are totally onto something with multiple differentiators for the customer, which is key. But for the owner, ease of operation, you've got great margins, you've got a pretty simple staff, simple location. And if you think of the automotive, to me, I think getting out and really getting with realtors, builders, residential, commercial to get into those things as well. It just, again, that's humongous potential for this. Ben, you were a guest months ago. We did a kind of series on scalability, multi-brand, because I know with Milex and Mr. Transmission, you'll get some of those. And I'm going to guess at some point, if not already, one of your Milex, Mr. Transmission owners are going to go, hey, get me on that train as well with the TurboTint. Yeah. So multi-unit, even multi-brand potential is like, you're kind of checking all the boxes with TurboTint.
It is. And what I love is they're so complementary, because automotive service is needs-based and recession-resistant and very strong. And then you have this TurboTint brand, which is fun and sexy and great margins, and people just want to add that to the vehicles or the home. So it really diversifies your investments and complements it very nicely. Now, the challenge with multi-brand is it's still going to require two separate locations,
right?
Which is okay. And that's fine. It's hard to put the tint installation in-house with automotive repair because you want climate control, you need cleanliness. You can't have dust particles out there. But again, it's a good play to do both.
No, super cool. This is all fantastic. And I'm glad, and I appreciate you joining us, especially during the craziness of the last couple of weeks of December and sharing all this about TurboTint. Anything missing that we've not talked about that you're like, hey, we got to make sure everybody knows this about TurboTint or even just Moran?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the time and the consideration. I think one, this may get a little, I mentioned trying to stay out of the weeds, but I think it's important because unless you're a consumer of tint and you understand the benefits from heat rejection, you may approach this market and say, who's putting tint in their cars anymore? I just got a new truck. I just got an SUV and my vehicles came tinted. So isn't this a declining or frankly unnecessary market? And there's what we call chaos in the market, which really keeps automotive tint in the aftermarket for us. And let me take a moment and talk about that because there's two things that are important. Every state has their own tint laws. So Arizona's tint laws is going to be different from Texas. There's no federal mandate on tint. And it's always been that way. We'll continue to be. We actually have lobbyists to make sure it stays that way. There's no incentive for the government at a federal level to take that over because it is market to market. The needs, depending on the climate, oftentimes dictate what those state tint laws will be. So what that means is a manufacturer can't roll off tint off that assembly line. They don't know where it will be sold. So they don't tint vehicles. It has to come to us in the automotive aftermarket. Now, this is a whole other point. Every once in a while, you get a dealership that will keep that in-house and they'll tint vehicles, but that's very rare. It doesn't become a big competitor of ours. My point is the state-to-state laws, again, with the chaos, keeps us in business in the aftermarket for your tint. But when you look at that SUV, that's actually not tint that you're looking at. You're looking at a dark glass. What manufacturers were able to do is a workaround to privacy. So if you think of your sedan, you have personal items. You can put those items in a trunk and nobody can see in there. Well, you don't get that with vans, SUVs, or pickup trucks. If you have personal items, they're effectively exposed. So the solution was, we're going to make this dark glass, but it has no benefit to heat rejection. There's no UV protection with that. So 70% of our customers with those vehicles end up just tinting all the way around. They want the heat rejection. So again, that's not tint. There's still a very large market to do that. We're doing a lot of education to that as well. A lot of consumers, they'll call us and say, hey, I need my front passenger window done. I need my driver's side window done. And it opens up a conversation. It's also on our website as well, where it opens up a conversation to say, hey, you realize you're not getting benefit from those dark windows. That's just dark glass. They say, oh, wow. Well, let's just do the whole thing.
Yeah. Now I understand why I'm so hot when I'm sitting in rush hour traffic when it's 95 degrees out in the summer. It's because it's not doing anything for that. It's just making it harder for people to see inside. So, which means two things. Number one, we need to go find the local TurboTint, right? To be able to get that fixed, or even better, or in addition to, call Fran Coach and get out of the rush hour traffic and have your own business and get a better lifestyle. Perhaps it could be TurboTint or anything else. One thing I remember you saying years ago, relative to Milex that does the automotive repair, is the average age of vehicles. It's one thing if you buy a brand new one, but you're saying that may still just be dark glass and not tinted as well or as effectively as it could be. But somebody buying a used vehicle that's, I was just telling you before we hopped on, we just did this with Danielle's, was like a year old or something. It was one of those that had been like the bougie, like rental for the dealership thing. But the front was just, it was just glass, man. And it was hot. And just went in and had to do this as well. So that happens a lot as well, in addition to the dark glass. So to me, I think automotive all day long, but the fact that you can tap into residential and commercial is...
it's a whole other business arm.
Yeah, no, without, and you make a killing with just the automotive. And then I think anybody as an owner that wants to really be proactive and can network, yeah, bring your car in, but what's your house like? What's your electric bill look like in July, right? If there's a comment in there, you probably shouldn't come in and talk to us because we can help you reduce the heat that's coming into your house and the higher the air conditioning has to get, especially over the last year or so. We're home more, right? You and I have been working from home forever, right? Everybody else has joined in the fun over the last year and a half, and a good chunk of that is stuck. The weird residual is, you may not have to drive as much, but now you're home more and those cooling bills in the summer can be crazy.
What's really neat with what you brought up, there's a couple things with customer acquisition costs as an owner. We see a lot of cross-selling into that architectural film where we simply have a display in store and it doesn't take up a lot of the real estate in the showroom area, waiting room area. But what that does is, I didn't even know you could apply this to home. And so now you've just cross-sold. It's not new marketing and it's so effective and efficient to cross-sell that into architectural. But the other thing, there's all these niche markets that you may not even consider, to your point, Tim, about the architectural, but also in the automotive, Tesla, electric vehicles, they encourage their owners to tint anything you can because the more heat rejection, that's less battery usage. So we see a lot of these inroads into that type of Tesla market and other EVs in addition to architectural. So there's just a lot of exciting things that we're doing with TurboTint.
Well, I look forward to getting it applied to my 73 Ford Pinto that I drive everywhere. So that'll be awesome, brother. So we're gonna get one of these suckers in Arizona fast. So Ben, as always, man, it's always good talking to you and I greatly appreciate you coming on and talking to us all about TurboTint. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. Enjoyed it as always. Thanks, Tim.
You are welcome, my friend. And for all of our wonderful, loyal podcast listeners, we hope the Franchising 101 series continues to provide insight into the amazing possibilities that can be achieved as a franchise owner. And be sure to subscribe and follow us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts so you never miss an episode. You can also give us those wonderful ratings on Spotify now. They just added that. So please do. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And lastly, if you'd ever like to learn more about becoming a franchise owner, let's schedule a brief introductory call. Click the window in your podcast window or find us at brandcoach.net. Send us a message. There's never any fee for our service. So we encourage you to take that first step today to help create your better tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. Have a safe and happy new year. And we hope to speak with you soon. Thanks so much.